Welcome back. You're listening to The Grumpy Gaze. It just doesn't get worse than this. Mrs. Gray, that was Respectable by the wonderful Mel and Kim. Take us, leave us, but please believe us, we ain't ever going to be respectable. And I think that works especially well for us on this show. We're never going to change on this show. We're not going to be respectable.
We most certainly are not, Mr. Gray.
Helen, when you laugh like that, I've got to say, has anybody ever told you that you sound like Muttley? And do you even know what Muttley is?
I do know who Muttley is.
That's it.
And I have been told most of my life that I sound like Muttley when I laugh. And if I recall correctly, Muttley was the evil little dog character to Dick Dastardly in a cartoon series.
Wacky Races.
Yes. So if I'm Muttley, the evil but genius dog, does that make you Dick?
Dick Desperately more these days, but that's what I'm going to call myself.
After that poem.
Oh, thanks. Together you and I, for we can. Brand new segment tonight. We're going to try this one out. I'm going to give it a running title of Crooks Tours.
Or you did have another working title, which I liked equally as well, Fly By Night Tours.
Fly By Night Tours, yes, absolutely. And what I want to do is I just want to cover some of those travel stories. I know that's, cast your mind back to the days of yore, the glorious age of travel, which was about 4 weeks ago, when people actually were able to do it. And I just recall sort of some of my adventures when I lived overseas, because I don't know if you know this about me, Mrs. Gray, but I lived in London for a while.
Take a shot, everyone. Take a shot.
Okay. In fact, I might have one myself. And while I was there, you've got the world is your oyster, really. You've got Europe on your doorstep. You can go here, there, and everywhere. You can take a long weekend and go somewhere completely different. Different culture, different architecture, different food. I do sort of miss those days living here in Australia because we are quite isolated from the rest of the world. It is a long way to get anywhere. But I'm not talking about those places that you would go to and they're a known quantity. You know you're going to go to New York. You're going to get a big city experience. You know you go to Paris. It's going to be the most pretentious place you've ever been in your life. You know you're going to go somewhere like Berlin. It's going to be nightlife and what happens in Berlin stays in Berlin. I'm talking about those places which are just kind of a little bit dodgy that I've been to.
This interests me no end.
I'm sure you've been to loads of dodgy places, knowing you, Helen.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So a prime example of this is I would put a warning out there to travellers who want to sort of go super gay for their holidays because I've always found that when you choose gay-only packages, it always just ends up being a little bit weird. I went to a place called Gran Canaria, which is in the Mediterranean. It's part of Spain. It's one of the Balearic Islands. I know, so it's not a Balearic island. So that is completely correct. It's down near Africa, but it's still owned by Spain. And year-round sunshine. So in the middle of the European winter, you do get a lot of people going down there because it's guaranteed sunshine, about 27 degrees every day. But it attracts a certain type of person. Let's put it this way. I guess you could call it the Bali of gay London.
Or the gay version of Benidorm?
Definitely. That is, you've hit the nail on the head there. And if anybody is familiar with the show Benidorm, yes. Picture this. It's the gay male equivalent of a bunch of madges. Thank you, Muttley. So, yes, me and my partner decided to go on this holiday down to Gran Canaria once. And it was a gay-only resort. And it was those two words that put fear in my heart these days, clothing optional. Now, we were a lot younger back then, but I can tell you, we were amongst the 0.75% of people that were under 48. which, being 48 myself now, I don't actually want to, you know, delve into. But back then, it was all a bit weird. Anyway, so we turned up, and we had an introduction speech by a drag queen called Doris, who ran a jeep safari around the dunes of Gran Canaria for a little bit of extra money, which we didn't bother investing in. And she gave a speech to everybody on the first night saying, well, one of the things you've got to look out for when you go to the bars and you go to the clubs and you go to the dark rooms of Gran Canaria, and believe me, there were a lot of those, was you've got to be careful of pickpockets. Right. And so she's saying, when you go out, always have this phrase in mind. When the knob's in the gob, the hands are on the rob. If I could, my boyfriend and I were just looking at each other going, is this for real? And then I was trying to figure out the logistics of that. And I was thinking, well, if the knob's in your gob, why would you want your hand would be closer to their wallet than theirs would be to yours, wouldn't it? I couldn't quite figure that one out anyway.
Can I just jump in there and highlight that Doris is more of a poet than you?
I don't know what. That's going to be how I'm going to get this man back in on Grindr. That's going to be my next poem. That'll definitely get him back on track. Okay, thanks.
When the knob's in the gob.
The hands are on the rock. Anyway, needless to say, I never had my wallet stolen the whole time I was there. And then you've got the other issue of why is it that the people that you least want to take up the option of no clothing always take up the option?
Having never been to a gays only resort where clothing is optional, I cannot answer that.
No.
I liken it to, I'm drawing a long bow here, Matt, but I often look at people and think there's a certain point where you should no longer wear lycra.
Okay, but I would rather these people have worn lycra than not wear it. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. These people had seen a lot of sun over many years. Anyway, then you got the issue of we had this Swiss couple who were consistently trying to basically pick us up for the whole 2 weeks. And it was you kind of expect that within the confines of the resort. So that's fine. And, you know, every time we saw them, all you could hear was, "Hi, guys."
You sound like me trying to read the names from the downtown Helsinki and bakery.
Yes, I know. But it sort of became this alarm for us. It was just always the same, hearing this, "Hi, guys." And it didn't matter where we went for the 2 weeks after that. So, you know, we'd be sort of doing a tour in one of the churches there, or, you know, one of the old town, and you'd turn a corner and you'd hear, "Hi, guys." And you'd think, oh, my God. And then we went out one night and we were in the bars and the clubs, and we probably ended up in a dark room just to see what just to see what fun was going on in there. And out of the darkness, all of a sudden you could hear, "Hi, guys." So it was too...
Bet you there were no knobs and gobs that night.
Maybe they were on the rob, who knows? Anyway, so I sort of just bear in mind that you're going to have some interesting experiences when you go to these gay-only places. And although I do remember actually going back to the old town, there was, we went shopping one day, and I used to quite like, when I went to these places, buying icons. So they're basically pictures of old religious iconography, Mary and St. Paul and all that sort of thing. And I do remember one of the women there, she looked at me and my boyfriend and she tried to sell us an icon of St. George Michael.
And she would be right in doing so.
She could see the pink dollar coming a mile off, that woman. So that was slightly dodgy. But then you've also got places like Eastern Europe, which I have been to many times because, as sort of dodgy as it is, you do get a lot of good stories out of the place. And I sort of fell in love with it over the years. For me, it's sort of the exact opposite of Australia. It's very exotic, in my opinion. But I do remember the time that, like, one of the very first times I went there, and it was a lot different to what it is today. I've sort of seen it change over the years, and you'll appreciate this, Helen. I used to particularly love it when the locals were just exceptionally rude.
Okay.
They kind of had their little rivalries, the countries. So the Czech Republic didn't like Slovakia, and the Slovakia didn't like Hungary, and all that sort of stuff. Just petty little rivalries and things. And you'd go into the currency exchange office. And we went in there one day, we wanted to change our Czech crowns, because this was before they joined the euro. We wanted to change our Czech crowns into Slovak currency. And the woman behind the counter just looked at us and went, no. I miss those days. It was really part and parcel of the experience. Like, it was just hilarious. And going back to your Helsinki story, I also remember being quite shocked because when you go to the public toilets there, there's this little babushka, a little woman sitting out front of the men's toilets and the women's toilets, and her sole job is to sell you toilet paper.
Well, she'd be a millionaire.
Oh, my God. I know. It's the golden age, as far as she's concerned. And when you go in, she asks you the question, one sheet or two? And I just looked at it. I'm thinking, well, I haven't gone yet. I don't know how much to invest. And what, you know, what if I underbuy? Do I have to come out with my pants around my ankles? I said, Jenna, could I please go for another two?
Hit me.
Yeah, just very, very bizarre. And then I do also remember the time in Eastern Europe that I got particularly, I'd had a couple of Bekarovkas, which is the local fire water, and there was a lovely man, very good looking, standing over one corner of the bar, and he had a pair of shorts on. And me, having had another couple of Bekarovkas, summoned up enough courage to go over to him and say, you have very nice legs. And he turned to me and he said, yes, thank you. I won Mr. Big Legs Bratislava 3 years running. Which is a thing, apparently.
I think all the grumpsters need to be Googling Mr. Big Legs Bratislava at this particular juncture.
And if it's only, I wonder if he's gone 4 and 5 years now.
Well, I think you need to do some investigation, well, Mr. Gray.
This was a long time ago, so Mr. Big Legs was probably about 85 by now. But yeah, so look, just many stories. Like, I just think the kind of more obscure, dodgier countries you can go to, the better stories you get out of it. And let's face it, when you travel, that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for memories. You're looking for good stories. And do you know what? We probably spent most of our time traveling around Eastern Europe sampling the local fire water, because what we used to have back home was this thing...
In London.
In London.
Drink.
Yes, was this thing called the Foul Drinks Cabinet. And we kept it for when people came around for dinner or whatever. And you had to get a bottle of liquor from some weird country that was just the foulest tasting thing ever. And most of them came from Eastern Europe.
Lovely. That's absolutely brilliant. I think we should be instigating a foul drinks cabinet when we reconcile, Mr. Gray.
Absolutely. In fact, I've got a bottle. I got it from Greece. It's in the shape of a Greek god.
Adonis?
Yes. And I'll give you one guess where you pour the liquor from.
Enough said, Mr. Gray. Anyway. I think we've had enough of your exploits on Crooks Tours for this week, don't you?
Okay, stick with us. You're listening to the Grumpy Gays on Joy 94.9. Coming up, we're going to be taking a visit to Room 666. And the next wonderful composition in the classic back catalogue of Stock Aitken and Waterman, you've probably never heard of her, Mrs. Gray, Sonia, this has never stopped me from loving you.